Good morning to everyone. The other day in small group, there are need arose that we need to hear more frequently and clearly what's happening in our congregation. And the reason why I'm saying our congregation, we are in two different areas of London, but we're one congregation because we follow one vision. And I think that needs to be clarified. So all the visitors being here, thank you for just taking time out, sitting and listening to all of this. I think it's important. We never knew it was going to work out like this, but thank you for being here. We'll get to the message now, but I think it's important that you as visitors and you being in the congregation also have a perspective of where we are going and what we are doing. So we're just going to run through a few stuff that will make sense to you. We have a congregation in Weybridge, Walton, and then we have this one here. And it's in two different areas, but one congregation, we follow the same vision. We started back in South Africa, and in South Africa we have now more than 30 congregations in most cities. We have three congregations within Namibia. We have 24 churches in Malawi. And then we have the 2 year and one in the Netherlands. And with that, we are planting churches right across the world because we really believe that God, in his mandate to the church, should go and plant churches to disciple people, to help them, to train them, to do the work of the ministry, and just to be effective citizens, within every area of life and where they are at. So that's why we're sharing this, just to give everyone a perspective of where we are coming from and where we're going to. So the first slide, if you can go there, is about a guy that's going to show us the slide. His name is Dong. So Dong, if you can flight your name there, Dong, flight Dong. So could you just share with the congregation what's going to happen with Dong in the near future?
So Dong has been part of Shofar for all his spiritual life. And he graduated from St. George's, where our congregation used to meet. And his prayer was that God would give him a job working as a doctor in the NHS that was close enough that he'd be able to remain a member of the congregation. And God answered that prayer. And we've been blessed. If I think back to before we had a rota for the audiovisual desk, Dong was on every week, and now he's kind of still on every week in some ways because he's training those who are going to take that forward. And it's been a privilege of mine to disciple him and to develop him as a leader, and I know that others of you have been involved as well. But God's moving him on. He's going back to his roots, not China, but Canterbury. Which is where his family came to, and he'll be working at a hospital there. Canterbury is in Kent, so if you think of the map of the UK and London's here, just go a bit further southeast, nearly as far as you can before you hit the water, and then you'll get to Canterbury. So we want to honour Dong for his service, and he's not leaving just yet, so there'll be lots more time to do that. But he's a son, and it's been a privilege to nurture him in that, and we know, Dong, that you're going to nurture many, disciple many, and develop many more leaders.
Okay. Then there's Megan. We'll allow her to share later on and why God said to us. But Megan is from East London in South Africa, and she's now in this part of London, and she came here and really been faithful in what she needs to do. And God has been speaking to her also. So there's also movement in her life. Look, in life you're either coming or you're going. You can't be stagnant. You know there's a problem when you're stagnant. You just feel it. God, something needs to happen. God, so God's constantly moving, calling us someplace or sending us someplace. And Dong's going to come later and he's going to share on something, and she's going to come later and share on something. If we can go to the next slide, please, Dong. Then, for those of you who don't know, Hercules and Melanie Opperman, it's official, they are coming. The date that we have set forth now is the 17th of June. June or July? Is it July? So that's the date that they'll be coming. They are regional leaders in the Western Cape, and there's also leaders of the region here. Hercules and his wife serves on our head office department, HU, and he's part of human resource, and ST, which is part of our biblical studies and theological training. So Hercules and Milan is coming. Baron and Anne Milivenink, they are elders in the Somerset Church. Somerset West Church. Okay. Technically, it's Somerset West. I just wanted to make that clear. But they coming. Baron and friends, they have a company in South Africa, but most of their clients are from the UK and America. So they're moving part of their HQ here and moving part of their HQ to America. So they're coming. It seems at this stage, June, July, we're not sure, but they're coming. Ian and Margot Thomas is Hercules and Milani's. Margot is Hercules' sister. So they moved from another church in Staines. And Margot doesn't like Staines because of the Ali G connotation. So they moved from Egham. It's more proper. Apparently Ali G messed up Staines. It can never be recovered. Those, and the English people, they don't understand what I'm saying. So they came over to us. Beautiful to see them. The next slide. Hakim Smith's here, the one that played the guitar. He's going to be here for a month, helping and serving. It's beautiful to have you here, Hakim. It's cool to have you here. He went to go celebrate the Queen's birthday, Central London, yesterday. And you're such a blessing. He'll share something later on. Then we have Wade. Wade sitting there. Could you please stand, Wade, because now nobody can see you. In Afrikaans, we call him Waida. Waida. You break it up in syllables. Wa-a-da. It's Wade. Wonderful to have you. He'll share something later on. Cool to see you, man. You can sit down again. Did you see how he stand like a Debenhams man in those catalogs? A Debenham catalog model. Thea. Is Thea here? There's Thea. Thea just arrived from South Africa, Stellenbosch. And I said, Thea, can we pray for, what can we pray for you? Yes, you can pray for me for a job. We'll pray for you for a job, Thea. It's her first time visiting here. So it's nice to have you here. And then following slide, please. So just for all of you, at this stage, HQ is in Stellenbosch. Some of you may not know it, some may know it. But HQ is now actually going to move to Franschhoek. They're going to move it there. They're going to do the training there. We're going to raise pastors there. We're going to do our ministry training program where we train ministers to go right across the world. If anybody of you would like to visit South Africa, this would be a place to go, to Franschhoek. It is very, very, very beautiful. Then, just wanting to let you know, we have neighbors. They're about 40 minutes away in flight, the Netherlands. So they're there, they're planting, things are going well there. Tarakian and his wife are at this stage in Somerset West. They're there. They're just having time with family and friends there. And we will take a team over there to minister there and go to them. And then HQ had a visit to Canada. We're thinking of planting in Canada. We don't know where because Canada is so big. So we must just decide where we're going to be. Central Canada, one of the major cities, or are we going to go into the wilderness, the white wilderness? We still have to decide that. And the next one, Dong, please. School of Worship 2016. It's open for everybody. You're welcome to come. Come and enjoy, even if you can do part of the sessions. I think it's important that you do it. And then plant a 2016. I would just like David to add some things to there, which I think is important about Graham Kenrick. And then plant it at Otford, please.
Sally's with Ruth at the back, but she was not a follower of Jesus when she was for most of her teens. She came to faith in Jesus in her late teens, but she'll know Graham Kendrick, and most English British people will, because his songs were sung in schools and on the streets, not just in churches. He's going to come on the Thursday evening, that's Thursday the 23rd, so after you've voted. It's too late to register if you haven't registered. But after you voted, because we don't want him to stop. So you might not get the 10 o'clock deadline if you plan to vote afterwards. So vote before you come. And then come here to this room. And we'll confirm the exact time. But it's likely to be somewhere between 7 and 8 on Thursday the 23rd. And he is well known not just in the UK, but all across the world. And for him to give his time to us, we're really blessed. So please do tell others as well. Tell your unsaved friends, family, colleagues. Tell people in other churches as well. We'll fit as many people as we physically can into this room. And that's on the 23rd. And then on the 24th and 25th, we're going to be round the corner. There's a place called The Hub. It's the Methodist Church, but Dr. Deo also share that building. And from Friday, on Friday evening and all day Saturday, we're going to be there. So just so you don't get lost, it's not far. It's about a 3-minute walk around the corner. But what we're wanting to do is just be who God has called us to be as shofar within the body of Christ in the UK. And that means working with others, that means partnering with others, that means learning from others. And in terms of worship, other than, you know, Holy Spirit, who obviously is the one who teaches us to worship in spirit and truth, Graham Kendrick, I can't think of perhaps anyone better to teach us. So do come along. If you need to, you know, make baby pool, pool for babysitters or whatever it might be, please do that. And invite people. We'll make space somehow in this room on the 23rd. And then Planted is, we've had it as ministry camp, and then it became a conference, and then it reverted to a camp. There will still be the camping option for those of you who like to camp and or are on a budget. We're going to go back to Otford, Oak Hall. It's far enough into the country to be country, but it's not far from London, so those of you who have to work or have other responsibilities can still come for the day. It'll start on the Friday evening, and then we'll start with our first session on Saturday. So it's the final weekend in August, and we'll go through from Saturday, Sunday, to lunchtime on Monday. Fred is due to come, as is Hercules and others as well. So if you can, swap a shift on a hospital ward to be available for that day, then do that. Do what you need to do. Please come and join us. Because what we'll hear, not all of us will be able to go to Convergence in October in Cape Town, but this is as good as we'll get without going there. And Sally said it earlier, it's a time for us to put down our roots so that we can grow into what God has called us to be.
The topic for Planted 2016, the leader's purpose. So we're going to be looking at how God made you and why he made you uniquely the way he made you. And why do you have difficulty to work with other personalities? There's certain personalities that you would clash with. We're going to talk about that. Why do you know, and how can you grow into the leader's purpose, why God has called you, why he's made you uniquely as he made you. And then we're looking forward to a beautiful time. Thanks, Dong. Next slide, brother. The convergence theme for this year that will also be our theme for next year would be being one. So convergence is this year, and convergence we use as a ministry place and ministry time for us to show us what is God wanting to talk to the body of Christ and us for the following year. Being one. Today I'm going to speak on unity, just again, not very long. But being one is important. God wants us to think alike with different views, but in terms of what he's saying. Are you with me? We think differently, we approach things differently, but there's a oneness that God wants from his church, which is very important at this stage. The being one theme. So it's going to be at in Cape Town, Ratanga Junction. We'll give the dates through again. There will be rides again. For those of you, it's a theme park with lots of rides. So there's breaks in between. Very beautiful part of the city. So if you can just save that date and just keep this in the back of your mind. So next year, we're going to be talking about being one. What does it mean? Following slide, Dong. And then stand in the gap feedback. We'll have that from Dong now. Just in a bit. Just the following one, Dong, please. Then just our vision directives for where we are at for this year. This year, God is building us. He's shaping us. He's sending people. We would think he's sending people away from us, but no, God is scattering the seed to other nations, to other places. God is talking about how do we love one another. God is talking about how we should love our neighbors. Very important topics. And then God is wanting to bring times of refreshing to all of us right here this year. So he's stirring a lot within our hearts. He's talking to us about a lot. If you can go over to the next one, Dong. And then for 2017, we'll be having the planning to get back to basics and the discipleship culture. So for next year, in July, and now in June, this coming month, we're going to have all small group leaders and ministry leaders together And we're going to plan 2017. So that by the month of September, each and every one of you will have a calendar of what we're going to do. Okay, this will be the last year that we do it like this. At that planning meeting in June, we will also plan the next date for when we will plan for 2018. Are you with me? So, it's basically going to be how we're going to reach out to our neighbors, how we're going to get our neighbors through the encounters, and then from there, how we're going to disciple people. We're going to go back to the basics of the basics. Why church? Why intercession? Why small group? Why fellowship? It's just back to the basics, because the basics will bring us. Have you ever noticed when things get complicated, we're not one anymore? We get distracted and divided. But when things are very simple, when we go back to the basics, we all know we're here to do this. So we're just going to have a conversation about that. And we're going to do the planning, and then we're planning a Ladies Awaken for 2017. Looking forward to that. Sally and Almery, they're leaving the end of July for a ladies retreat back in SA. Just to go and pray with the other ladies from Shofar, and then they're going to come back. And we're going to do the planning and talk about that. So to all the leaders, if it's a bit of short notice to you, please forgive us. I'm asking you for forgiveness in advance, but we're going to plan this. I think most probably it will be on a Saturday. It will be at my home. We'll have a lunch, and we'll just talk through 2017. We're going to have to be prepared and just talk it through and schedule it, and then we're going to have a calendar in every home so that we can know what we're going to do for 2017. Amen. Next one. Is there anything else? Nope.
Dong. Followed by Wade, followed by Meg, followed by Hakim.
Good morning. I've been asked to share a little bit about a month ago when we went as a congregation to Trafalgar to praise and worship in public. I'm sure everyone who was there will agree it was such an amazing thing to do. And you know, we know that praise and worship is beautiful to God. And the thing I suppose that really moved me was just how taking out into the open just drew people, really. I mean, Jesus says, lift me up and, you know, the Father will draw men to me. And just the way that I guess people came around, and they were, you know, I guess they probably haven't seen anything like it before. And the conversation we were able to have, and prayers that we were able to have, just, you know, so encouraging. And, you know, I remember sort of previous seasons when we talk about worship being a key, and this is sort of really how I see worship being a key. Because, you know, our praise and worship this morning was beautiful as well, but when we really reach out like that and charge the atmosphere, like Trevor Sampson would say, you know, we've seen the tangible testimony of how people are impacted and how doors are opened. So yeah, I was excited when Carlos, I think, said it on Saturday at the band meeting that we're going to do more of this. And you know, even though that I might not necessarily be there for that, you know, I really encourage all of you guys to do this as much as possible, because it's so powerful. You know, praise and worship, bringing in God's presence. Yeah.
Morning. Good morning. Hi. I got asked to share a bit about School of Worship. So I missed it last year in Pretoria because I was in the UK last year. But I did the DVD series while doing internship in Pretoria now, beginning of the year. Okay, so it blew my mind from session one. It is really incredible. It's a couple of the worship leaders and some of the leaders in Shofar. I think they sat down, just listened to God, like what he wants, what's worship, what he wants from us. They didn't come up with a checklist. This is like a 10-point list, how we should worship. They just put down on like a lot of sessions, like what God requires, what He would like us to do, and my whole world is blown because I thought it was a whole seminar about worship music. And it's not about music. It's not about music at all. Doesn't matter where you serve, what you do, that is worship. Yeah, it's incredible. I would actually encourage everyone to go. Like my whole focus on why I make music, because I'm a muso, why I make music, why I play cricket, why I spend time with family changed, because that is worship. That's what God wants. He doesn't want me to be perfect. He doesn't want me to do things, to perform, if I have to like shorten it up, like put it in a box, to perform. It's really, really incredible. A lot of stuff the team goes through in the sessions. There's some music theory. There's some worship leader stuff you learn with in the sessions. But you don't have to be a muser. You don't need to be a muser to do it. It's for everyone, like Carlos said in the beginning. My whole world shifted up around why I worship the King. It's not me focused at all. It's totally Him focused. And going through the sessions, realizing that worship is not about me. I can freely just love, love and lead in a sense. That's my it. That's it. Thank you very much.
So I was just asked to share just about my journey that I've been on for the last bit. So I've been in the UK for just over a year, and my visa is going to expire in March. So I've been asking questions. I'm a high school teacher. And so I've been saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Where do I need to go? And then I saw a picture one day of, I don't know if anybody else did this with their dads, but my dad and I, when I was little and I couldn't swim, my dad used to stand or be in the pool, and then he used to hold out his hands and say that I need to jump. And obviously, because I trust my dad, I would, you know, just jump in. But in the picture that I saw, I was obviously the little girl, but I wasn't willing to jump because I didn't trust my father. Not my natural father. I didn't trust God. And that challenged me. And he was like, okay, Meg, I need you to trust me. And so, yeah, so I've now made the decision to, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm trusting for a job. And hopefully I'll be able to share in a couple of weeks' time that I actually have a job when I go back. But not only for that, but I really feel like I will come back to London, and I will be able to teach in London and serve. And I'm really expecting for that, and I'm really trusting. And if you look at it, all the odds are actually against me because I'm South African and I don't have a British ancestry. So it will actually be really difficult for me to get back in if you have to look at the things. But I'm really trusting that, like, God is saying I need to jump. So I'm going to go away and get equipped, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to come back in Jesus' name. And that's just going to be part of the whole journey of trusting Him. So I guess just encouragement to everybody else, if there's anything that you are trusting for or anything that you are feeling weary about, I really feel like God is challenging each of us just to jump into the water, because He's not going to let you slip through His fingers. He's not going to let you fall into the water and drown. He's a good Father and He's faithful, but we are required to trust as well. So I'm leaving at the end of September, and then it'll take me about 2 years to get qualified. I'm hoping for a year to get qualified in the rest of my teaching stuff, so that I'm able to teach in the UK or in Europe. So yeah, please pray for me. That'd be great.
Good morning, everyone. I'm not going to teach. I just want to read a scripture. I was asked to share two things about what's been happening in the past 6 months in my life. And just some background, I didn't grow up with parents. From 12 years old, I've been surviving on my own. So I didn't grow up with a dad. So this year, the past 2 years, I've been discipled by Hercules, who's the regional leader here, and Fred and Mac and all the pastors that side. And And the one thing that I addressed in my life is my scheming and my lying and all of those things. And that came out and yeah, so the two things I want to speak about is, first of all, sonship. And what God revealed to me is that I'm always living on the edge, wanting to run away to the next church. So go and join Hillsong, go and join Bethel, if I'm not getting what I want out of the church. And then God challenged me, I need to get to the center, and I need to be planted there. And the one thing happened in December, something happened where I was accused of so many things, you know, and then God gave me the scripture. I don't know if you guys are with Eli and Hannah. It's 1 Samuel. Let me paraphrase it. And then Hannah was busy praying, and she was asking God, "God, I need a child." And then Eli observed her, and her mouth was moving, and he thought she was drunk. And then he came to her and he said, "It's this time of the day, you're drinking." And then she said, the next words for me, and this is important, but Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in the spirit. I'm not drunk." So her response was out of respect to him. And because of that, she received the blessing. And what I learned is that I need to graduate as a son to become a father. So I didn't grow up with a dad. But there's certain things I need to graduate from, and that is giving my father the benefit of the doubt. And that's what she did. She didn't go and say, "Oh, you know, you're lying," and all of these things. Like what we would do if someone's speaking like lies, and you know, you want to go and convince. But she didn't do that. She said, "No, my Lord." And then she received the blessing because he said, "You will get what you wanted." And the second thing is familiarity. This was a tough one for me because I was addressed, I don't know, Carlos will introduce you to Dr. Malik, George Malik. I sat across from him and he said, "Akim, the scheming and the lying need to stop." And I've been 2 years since I've come clean with everything in my life. I've literally just lived truth, spirit and in truth. So he said, "Akim, you're still scheming." And I thought, started thinking, "God, how am I scheming? I don't know." Then one day I was driving on my bike, training for the Malawi in October, and I'm riding, and then while I'm listening to a sermon from Bill Johnson, he said, Jesus was busy speaking, and it's also from Luke 4, you can go and read it there, just make sure, yeah, from Luke 4, from verse 20 to 25, and then Jesus spoke about an amazing sermon. And then the people in the crowd in Nazareth like, "Wow, this guy is amazing. You know, he's preaching an amazing sermon." And then one person in the crowd turned around and said, "Isn't that the son of Joseph?" And immediately they went from marvel to doubt. And they started seeing him in the natural and not seeing him as God. And then I realized I honor Fred and I honor Hercules because they're my leaders. So if I please them, I'll go up in the ranks in ministry. But then God challenged me and he said, the scheming that Dr. Malik was referring to is that I won't honor the normal person that I deem normal. And God said, I need to honor him the same way that I would honor Hercules then. And that was the scheming God had to address in my life, is when we become too familiar with people. We don't recognize the I don't know what the word is. We don't recognize the authority, not authority, is the word I'm looking for, but I can't get it. The anointing on their lives. So it's like outside the red robots. You don't not go across the road because there's a cop standing there. You go there because you know your conviction is you shouldn't go past there. So I would respect Hercules and respect Fred, never correct them, but I would go to one of my friends and tell them, "Hey, you." So I should still respect them the same way and not become too familiar with people. So those are the two things I wanted to speak about.
Thanks. There's a reason, thanks Akim. There's a reason why I really felt God wanting the four of them to share what they needed to be shared. It's one thing saying I would receive from David, but I won't receive from Carlos. It's fine to hear Meg's story, but I don't want to hear David speaking. Oh, and I would like to hear Dong Dong school. I chill out with Dong so Dong can speak to me. And Wade's like a very likable guy. I can receive from Wade. But man, I can't receive from Meg. And I can't receive from Akim. Now, there's lots of that going out in the body of Christ. Lots of that. In other words, you hear a story about me, you have preconceived ideas about me, and immediately you're closed. And the benefit of the doubt thing is that scheming and conniving. But the beautiful thing is the fact that God would use all five speakers this morning to drop something within our heart. It's biblical unity. It's a picture of unity. And this morning, I just want to expound a bit on the picture of unity. I have 10 minutes left, 10 to 20 minutes left, and I want to expound on that because I think it's an important thing if we're wanting to be one and we're wanting to become successful. It's one thing to listen to your friend. It's another thing to respect your father that has deserted you. Love's a funny little thing. You know, people get married and they stand at the altar and then they tell, I love you, my wife. Now, can I just be frank with all of us? When you tell your wife that you love her, you have good intentions of loving her. And I respect you for that. But your love is not love until it's been tested. Until that day when she or he says something and you're thinking in the back of your mind, who did I marry? Have you noticed when you get angry, you speak in staccato? Who did I? Did you guys get hidings like that in South Africa? You will not be like that. It's like a staccato prophecy over your bum. I don't know if they but back in South Africa, they would prophesy over you if they give you a beating. But you know what? Love's a funny little thing. Love is a funny, funny little thing. And I'm wanting to share some principles with you about love this morning and about unity. First of all, I don't know about you, but when I looked at them talking, I saw some good trainers, people that could train people. I just saw it. I saw some good public speakers. I saw some people that would stand in front of lots of crowds. And I saw some good preachers here in front of you. I don't know how you looked at them, but I saw some preachers. I'm not going to say who now, because the door's too small when the heads swell. It's a joke. Anyway, I saw some, and that's what the church is about. Raising up schemers and connivers, like Hakim said. Raising up not people that don't trust. Raising up people that don't know how to worship, and then they become these powerful orators of God. I mean, Dong would most probably reach people that I will never connect with in my whole life, ever. And they won't listen to me. They listen to him rather than to me. But I have to make a peace about it. But that's perfect love in unity. So let's just quickly show you three pictures of love within Scripture. I hope I'm going to help people this morning and have an understanding of why love and unity connects beautiful together. Psalms 133, a picture of unity in the Old Testament. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together. Life, doing life together, living together in unity. It's like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down to the collar of his robe. It is if the dew of Hermon as falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life evermore. I'm wanting just quickly to talk about divine order, something that Hakim mentioned too. So if you can just flight the scriptures about divine order, let's just look at that. Moses led the Israelites, just quickly, Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. Why does this scripture talk about the oil on Aaron's beard and not Moses' beard? Have you ever thought of it? It's because God thinks in terms of leadership. God thinks in terms of second-tier leadership. If the people didn't get what Moses said, it was curtains. Sophiso is part of Motown. Motown was somebody's dream. Somebody sat behind, Lukey, we need to write a play about this and we need to take lead. If the people doesn't understand the guy that had the vision for Motown, Motown will never happen. That's why the scripture talks about Aaron. So the scripture talks about divine order. And I just want to quickly explain to you how divine order works from a biblical perspective. First of all, divine order says God's the authoritative character in life. He says he decides. We're going to come back to the origins of God at the end, just quickly. Then scripture. I mean, if the Bible is true, if we believe God speaks, then the Bible must be authoritative within our life or it's not. And I have respect if it's not for people. I really have respect. But first, God. God would speak in our home. Then we live according to scripture. No, I would say to my daughter, it's not an option to forgive. You must. Scripture says so. Yeah, but I don't want it, Daddy. I would like to throw her with something. No, we don't throw stuff around, you know. Then God would say, nobody watch TV in this house for the next 3 weeks. Then we would sit around the table and I would say, listen, me and Mom, we just felt God saying nobody watches TV. Oh, God's a party pooper. God spoils our fun. Well, my child, I don't ever say in this. I can't watch my sport. You know? Oh, man, England threw it away. Man, they threw it away, man. Did you watch it? I watched the game last night. They threw it away. I told Hakim. Hakim told me they shouldn't settle back now. They should attack. Settle back. Oh, man. Then comes functional authority. In other words, if my wife does the books better than me, she's the authoritative character in our home on finances. If I'm a better cook, I'm the authority on cooking in the home. It's worked like that, you know. You know, accident happened out there. Sadiq comes, the new mayor. Sadiq comes. What happened here? When the police officer comes, he will tell Sadiq, please move, get your car, move. I'm the functional authority. But then the doctor comes. Then the doctor tells the cop and the police, would you please move? I'm authority on life. Functional authority. Sometimes we get these skewed. You know, after that headship, then I'm the head of the home. So God can overrule what I say. But if my daughter decides to prophesy and say, God is saying to us as a family, we must. Then if that is God speaking through my daughter, we submit under that. Functional authority. Then comes headship. I'm the head of the home. Then comes the authority of our conscience. If Meg says, look here, I can't eat pulled pork. It's just against. Then we respect the authority of our conscience. Not that she would not. She loves it. But, God can rule over the authority of our conscience. Like he told Peter, eat. Maybe your conscience tells you, no, I won't go to this brother today because he's a stranger. Then God would say, no, you buy him coffee and a donut. I hope I'm scoring brownie points, man. If somebody heard that they must buy this man a donut and a coffee, God can overrule, and then you go against what you think. Just remember, your conscience cannot go against scripture. And then the authority of custom. When we go to the deans, we sit around the table, and the deans, they don't pray, they sing a song, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then everybody around the table says why God needs to be blessed in it. Why we say thank you to God. That's the authority of a custom. God blesses custom. Just important, our customs cannot keep people out of the kingdom. Then God has a problem with a custom. Just wanted to drop that with you. Then I'm trying to help people. Just God speaks to leadership. We can skip that. And I'm just wanting to go to the last part that I'm going to end off. So could you please go to a picture of unity within the Trinity? John chapter 17, 18, 21. This is going to get a bit philosophical now. It's not a sermon, Today it's just some principles. Scripture says, as you send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. That is what Jesus says. God, you send me to come to the world. Now, just maybe some of us, you said, no, I don't believe in Jesus. I didn't believe he came. But let's say he came. Let's just make the playing field level. Okay, Jesus came. So Jesus is praying, God, you send me into the world that they may be one as we are one. Father, you are in me and I in you, and that they also may be in us, so that with the world may believe that you have sent me. Then another piece of scripture. As you send me into the world, he will glorify me, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine. So Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, and Jesus talks about God sending him. Could you just black out this, brother? There's something about love and unity that I just want to drop with you. I want you to wrestle through it and pray through it. The first question that I want to ask is, where did you learn to love? Where did you learn to love someone else? You either learned it from your parents, or you learned it from your friends. But you had to learn. Love's not something that you can create. So it's the one thing that a lot of atheist people have difficulty in explaining. They would say that, no, the only reason I know how to do what I do is because circumstances forced me to do it. But circumstances cannot create love. Circumstances cannot create love. Circumstances forces you to do certain things, but why do certain people do things in a loving way, and why do certain people do things in an unloving way? Then someone would say, no, my dad showed me, and I would ask, where did your dad learn? No, he learned it from his dad. Where did this love come from? Love can only be created within a community. You can't love somebody on your own. And you can't be loved if you are on your own. Are you with me, my reasoning? Just follow me this morning. So if I'm on an island and I'm a millionaire, but I'm alone there, I'm not a millionaire. I'm a man alone on an island with lots of money, but nobody knows it. I only become a millionaire when I move back into society. You with me? And so I always tell people, if you worship money and you live in Zimbabwe, then you have a big problem. Because it's relative. If you live in the UK and you have lots of money, then you're like a mister. You're a Mr. So-and-so. If you live in America, you're fine. But if you go, if you have lots of money and you just fly over to Greece, you're in trouble again. Because it's relative. But love's not relative. So love is a funny little thing when we are in community and people test our love. Now what Jesus was saying and what Jesus is saying, look here, me, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, we have perfect community. We have perfect love. Father, you've sent me, and this is the good news that I want to share with you. You have the ability to love people the way God loved them. You have that ability. If you believe that love comes from that perfect community. It's inside of us. It's inside of us. You can only express love when somebody has offended you. Truly. Because then you've got to make a choice. It's tough. But now you must make a choice. A very old man told me once, I think it was a joke. We laughed, so it must have been a joke. But he said he married his dream girl. Until one morning, he woke up next to the reality. Who did I marry? We know of all the horror